You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
This episode is brought to you by our friends at Actors Connection, a professional development home for actors at all levels of their careers. You can check out their website at actorsconnection.com to register for a free seminar, learn more about their self-tape services, or sign up for a completely free one-on-one program consultation. And since Actors Connection is a big fan of The Ensemblist, thanks so much, they have given us an exclusive discount code for our listeners. You can use this code, ENSEMBLE15, for checkout for 15% off of your next purchase for a class or an intensive. You're listening to Fosse and Verdon from The Ensemblist, the only podcast that shows you Broadway from the inside out. Welcome, I'm Mo Brady. This month, FX launched a new limited television series, Fosse Verdon, based on the 2013 biography by Sam Wesson, with a focus on his marriage and collaboration with Gwen Verdon. Now, there isn't a theater choreographer more associated with their own unique style than Bob Fosse, and much of that work was created with and fueled by his relationship with Verdon. So this spring, The Ensemblist is speaking to some of the artists with Broadway cred who helped make the series possible.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Glory, 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 glory.
The fourth episode, it is a friggin' doozy. Using the development of Pippin as a jumping-off point, we really get to see into Fosse's process. Through power plays and an incredible amount of sexual misconduct in the workplace, Fosse woos his company into the performances he wants them to deliver. In this episode, we see many familiar Broadway faces playing the company of Pippin. Ahmad Simmons plays Ben Vereen, and Lindsay Nicole Chambers plays Leland Palmer, along with Nina LaFarga, Peter Cherson, Paloma Garcia-Lee, Michael Hartung, and this week's guest, Emma Camares. Emma has performed at Broadway's Lunt Fontan Theater in two separate productions, playing Veruca Salt in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and Wendy in Finding Neverland. She has also performed on the small screen in the Starz series Flesh and Bone. In Fosse Verdon, she plays Rebecca, one of the dancers in the original company of Pippin, who gets caught up in the power of Bob Fosse and vice versa. Here's our conversation.
Steel is cold as moonlight. Steel is sharper than sight.
Hi.
Hi.
Will you introduce yourself and tell us your relationship to Fosse Verdon, the miniseries?
Yes. Hi, I'm Emma Camares, and I play Rebecca in episode 104.
So what was the first time you heard about this miniseries?
It was in the end of summer, last summer, and I got an appointment for Anne Rankin.
Oh, yeah,
and
the role.
I freaked out.
Sure.
Like, I remember, I think I was at the Canal Street stop, and I saw the appointment, and my heart, like, leapt into my throat. I was like, Anne, like, I am absolutely not right for that. Like, her leg is the size of my body.
Sure.
But I was like, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready. Let's do this. So I went in for that. I wore a wig. it went really well. It was, I was like, okay, let's do this. Let's see what happens. And then I got called back in to for Cheetah Rivera.
Oh my gosh, you've been, okay, keep going.
So yeah, so that was crazy. I was like, okay. I had my, and this time I did not need to wear a wig. I just let my pixie fly free. So we had a scene and then I sang all that jazz and that was so fun. I got called in for like a dance call.
So yes, I've heard about this.
You've heard about this audition.
This big dance call.
Where- oh, that was one of those New York moments. One of those like, I'm getting chills just thinking about it because the energy in that room, like Tommy Kail, Andy Blankenbuehler, Sam came in, Sam Rockwell mm-hmm. came in, like, and it was such a good energy in the room and everybody was just really vibing because it was like that, it was the combo from episode 103, the Jack Cole.
The Jack Cole one, yes.
That combo. So it was really like cool and sexy and everybody was just on their game. Oh my God, the dancing in that room that day was, I was just in the corner. I could have had popcorn. Every single person gave their life on that floor.
So what happens after this beautiful New York moment?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So
you get a call, you get an email.
I got a call about like the first episode, but then that kind of didn't happen because I had been reading for roles. Mm-hmm. I was just kind of like, you know, I think that if there's a role for me, I would really want to tackle that. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of a tough decision. And like a month later, I got a call and the casting director, she's such a sweetheart. She's like, I have a role for you. And I was at work. So I was like in the corner, like those whispers that she's really excited. And like, oh my God, what up? And then she called and she was like, it was on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, we just need a studio approval. And then she called me and she was like, yeah, we have a little role for you. I didn't even know who the woman was. Mm-hmm. I didn't even have a name. She was like, you're just going to be this one of these four women in this episode.
What do you get before you go to set the first day?
I got my sides. I got like the scenes that I was going to be a part of because you don't get the whole script of the episode. You know, I think they wanted to conceal that. They were very precious with the material. The way that they did this was so incredibly professional and so respectful to the legacy.
Now does Rebecca have a name?
So Rebecca got a name. It was such an abstract thing. It's so funny, my thought process for like the birth of Rebecca. Because at first it was just this, I have a role, da da da, I don't know. And then they sent the size and it became real. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh God, I need to like create a person here. So I did do some like thinking on my own of place, you know, because she was in the 70s. I made her half Dominican, just for myself, yeah. For my own backstory. Born in Washington Heights, grew up in Washington Heights, went to like Ballet Hispanico, like she trained dancer and she was like, you know, rough and tough chick. And I just kind of gave myself a backstory because with those roles, you don't really get any type of backstory.
And so many of your lines are either, I mean, there's the last scene, which is sort of directed in his fantasy. Mm-hmm. But everything else is like, oh, yeah, sure.
Exactly.
Or like, you were great.
Sure. And it's like, yeah, hi. Like, what's up? What are you doing?
There's not a lot of character.
No, not at all. So I did that on my own work with that just so I could feel more of a whole person because I was about to be talking to Sam freaking Rockwell.
Sure.
And Michelle Williams. I was like, they...
They've done their homework.
So I want to show up as whole as possible.
One of the moments that I thought, I wonder if Emma made this choice, was the side lunge you're doing in the first scene when the camera's sort of like, okay, you're sitting there, you're lunging next to Nicole,
yes.
Right? And I was like, that is a choice.
It was a choice.
Is that a choice that you made?
Or yes.
They just said, Emma, you're down here.
They were like, because Tessa Grady and I were in the corner by the bars. One person's going to be on the bar and then like stretching and then somebody else. Because my first line was, oh, she's adorable, talking about Nicole. Mm-hmm. And she's drawing. And she actually, because in rehearsals, Nicole Fosse, we had this like this magical hour with Pam Sousa and Nicole Fosse just talking about Bobby.
Oh my gosh.
Forever. And Nicole brought in actual drawings that she did when she was a kid during Pippin rehearsals. So this scene... the actor Blake, she's recreating these real drawings that Nicole Fosse drew during rehearsals.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? And Pam was so gracious and so open-hearted. And her experience with Bob during mm-hmm. Pippin was like this beautiful, familial, loving experience. So she had a lot of really beautiful, loving things to say. Like a really, it was like his peak moment.
Mm-hmm.
He had just won the Oscar. He was, you know, he was flying. His mm-hmm. career.
Mm-hmm.
His career was fine. So he, in the studio, things were just happening so beautifully. And she said that it was just one of those casts that they're still friends to this day. So she had a lot of love. She brought in a note from a hotel notepad. Bob was writing notes for Pam. It was like, and in his writing, and she had it saved with a clipping, a newspaper clipping from, I think, when she shot the Pippin commercial.
Mm.
She just, it was this cherished, you know, little note that said so much in like one line and just his like script.
So you're getting all of this from the essence.
Oh my God. And it really did, it informed and changed that scene. The mm-hmm. first scene of the rehearsal where I'm in that lunch. I just did the lunch just because that's what I would do.
Well, also, I was like, she's made, there's a choice made here. And I'm like, I wonder how long Emma's in this lunch.
Because I know, I had to keep evening it out.
Because like cameras are moving.
I was
and
like, why did I do this? Why? I was so extra.
So where did you shoot?
In the Bronx at Silver Cup Studios.
Okay.
So we went, you know, take the six all the way up. And it's right next to the water.
Is that where you filmed all of your scenes?
Me, yes, I did.
And how many days were you on set?
I shot like in total, it took around like a month. I had like 3 days of the end of like a Christmas week. And then we came back. They had a Christmas break. I was there the last day. So they had a huge Christmas feast.
Oh, fun.
And that was fierce. Like a bunch of Broadway dancers with all crafties, please.
So how many days over a month?
Oh, yeah. So then in beginning of January, we did like 2 weeks of rehearsal.
Oh my gosh.
Susie Meisner.
For the last scene specifically?
Just for the last scene, for the finale. Because they were also rehearsing the Manson Trio.
Okay.
And our little like congratulatory moment. Oh,
right. Yes.
So we were rehearsing up at in Harlem.
So much of it sort of makes sense on the page, except for that last scene. I was like, what does the script look like for this?
It changed a lot.
Really? Okay.
It didn't change a lot. There were a lot of layers. It was just like a regular Broadway rehearsal. Like we learned the music and we like kind of talked through everything. And then we choreographed the dance separately and then brought everything together. And it evolved like any number. It felt very much like a lab or a workshop, or it felt very normal.
Yeah.
You know?
Did it?
Because we were in a studio. And I feel like this project overall was treated very much like a Broadway show.
Did you record vocals? Which vocals did you record?
We learned all the vocals and we were mic'd that day and we were singing live because we are all Broadway.
Yeah.
Performers.
It's but, hard not to.
Yeah, well, we had to. And that Susie, who I adore and who plays Joan McCracken,
mm-hmm.
she choreographed and danced with us. That woman is just, she's phenomenal. Working with her was beyond an honor. But she wanted us to sing full out and just be as full out as possible, just to really like capture the essence, because it wasn't really about the dance, it was about mm-hmm. the feeling and the story and
sure,
the emotion.
Sure, there's movement and it's specific movement, mm-hmm. but it's a lot of arms or it's a lot of
gestures.
Sort of,
yeah. It was a conversation. She really encapsulated like the essence of Fosse, but with her own voice.
And so for a piece that has so many technical elements, like that last scene, walls are flying out, and like how. How much of that are you teching? Like,
I know, right? We had a rehearsal. It was like the first thing in the morning at like 8 a.m. We had a rehearsal on set after we had finished in the rehearsal studio. We did it on set, but it was just for the crew
mm-hmm.
and nothing was moving, you know? So that was the first time. And then they were like, oh, we're adding the wall.
What's like you've already said some, but a favorite special moment?
Well, definitely the Pam Sousa conversation with Nicole Fosse, especially. She was there the entire time.
Oh, wow.
Nicole was she was like the shadow of the set. Like she was just in every corner with anecdotes and feedback and insight, and but wasn't overpowering in any way. She just, you could tell that she was there to protect this legacy and to add authenticity down to the sets, down to everything. Like she was like, oh no, I brought in my own pictures and showed it to the art director, and then they created these sets. So that was phenomenal. That was like, they just were doing it their right way. The scene that I, in Gwen Verdon's dressing room.
Oh yeah, because it's day, just the three of you.
It was just the three of us.
Yeah.
And this sweetheart, this woman who played Michelle's dresser.
Oh, right, right, right.
God, he's such a charmer. He's amazing. I just had the time of my life. He was very, very... like in, you know, he had his headphones in listening to Bob's voice at all times. He had his folder with his book all like dog tagged. You know, he did his homework. He was very, he was focused. But he also has that social vibe and that energy. He's like, he was mischievous. Like he wanted to like be involved. So he was kind of like at two places in once. He was very much in his Bob world and like, just in that vibe, because he's just a stand-up guy. Because I was sitting out right outside of the set that was Michelle, the Gwen Verdon's dressing room. So every time in between takes, my vista was her with her makeup artists and her touch, like the hair and makeup touch-ups. And she had to do a touch-up in between because she was, the scene was her putting makeup on.
So they had to
resetting. And the lighting was so ethereal and magical, and it was like this like red, like rich yellow orange lighting, pink lighting, and she was dressed beautifully, and she was just getting her touch-ups, and she was just in Gwen world. It was incredible to watch that, her just living in that world and just so subtly doing these little nuances and little things, because in her performance you see it's the little things that just, she is Gwen Verdon.
Yeah.
It's really incredible.
Yeah, like, it's an incredible performance.
To her little teeth insert, and just the cadence of her voice and her little mannerisms, like, and watching that like from, you know, 5 feet, 10 feet apart was really something. Like, I remember being like, this is happening right now. This is real. Just overall, I'm just so excited to see this show. I'm watching it and I'm like just in awe. And I love how they are really making it about the relationship between Bob and Gwen. And like the acting or the dance scenes and the choreography and everything, it's more of a supporting character. It's like really supporting and just setting the scene so meticulously for them to have that interaction, and like to see it on television done at such a high caliber and with Broadway dancers, Broadway performers who have worked so hard, and to see them, it's just such an incredible payoff. Like, this is, I'm proud to be a part of this.
Special thanks to Emma for sharing her stories with us this week. You can learn more about her and how to connect with her online by visiting our website, theensemblist.com. You can help others find out about The Ensemblist by leaving us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Honestly, it's, if you're liking this series about Fosse Verdon, please let us know. You can leave us a comment, give us a review on iTunes, and honestly, it really does help. You can also download episodes wherever you get your podcasts if you're not an Apple person, or on our website, theensemblist.com. Also follow us on Instagram to see the latest posts from our website, where we are sharing the stories of talented artists working in Broadway ensembles every day. Literally every day. All right, take care, and thanks for listening, guys.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.